I am Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie. We're turning out great stuff today.
Wow.
And you know who's helping us?
I guess the drugs are helping you a lot.
They are. And you know who's been helping us all week a whole lot?
I don't know.
The Air Force.
Yes, they're they
here.
Have.
The Air Force is in force.
Right, right.
And speaking of in force, guess what? The Air Force is back again.
Wow.
And we love it.
That was a roundabout way to introduce.
Yes, we have Jonathan, I'm not sure how to pronounce this last name.
Aronoff,
and Rebecca Aronoff.
No relation.
From Edwards Air Force Base, the Air Force Test Pilot School. Oh, I want to go.
Yeah, that's the best of the best of the best, they say, right?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Well, you cannot walk in off the street and say, I want to be a test pilot, can you? You've got to already be a pilot with a bunch of hours before they even will consider you. Is that correct?
Well, not quite. So the test pilot school actually graduates flight test engineers and test pilots. So only about half the class are actually rated aviators in the United States Air Force and some of our partner nations and other service members. So every year we normally have a Navy or Marine pilot join us, and we send individuals to their schools as well. And then the other half of the class is typically either a weapon systems officer or flight test engineers. And some of those flight test engineers actually get to be a civilian. So I'll let Becca introduce herself, but she was one of the few civilian flight test engineers for the Air Force that got to go through the school.
Wow. So you go through the school so you can get an idea of what it's like from the pilot's viewpoint when you are writing your test plans?
Correct. Both what the pilot's viewpoint will be and then just to help us be better at our own jobs. So if you picture Top Gun Maverick, at the beginning of the movie, Maverick is flying the Dark Star, and Hondo is in the control room on the ground. So that is what flight test engineers do. We are typically on the ground in the mission control room, running the room, running the flight test, collecting the data, telling the pilot what to do. So we're actually the boss, not the pilot.
Oh, I'm sure they love that.
And then depending on the type of aircraft, we'll also run tests from the back seat. So for example, I run flight tests out of the back of the F-16 or the T-38 from the back seat.
Very good. Sounds like a fun job.
I was going to say, she's the one there. Don't do it, Mav.
Do it. 10.0. Come on, 10.0. And, of course, he walked away. But anyway. Yeah. So how long is a typical flight test training program?
It's about 48 weeks. So it's approximately a year-long program. Correct.
They never give you that impression in the movie.
No. I'll be honest, it was the best year of my career. You got to be a student again, you got to learn with some of the best professors in the world, and you got to fly 20 to 30 different airplanes. So for the entirety of the year, you have class in the morning, then in the afternoon, you're going to fly jets or warbirds or whatever they have lined up for us today. So it was difficult, it was a lot of work, but it was incredibly, incredibly humbling experience.
Now, from the pilot's standpoint, you are learning to fly to evaluate an aircraft. So it's a whole different mindset, isn't it? It's like paying attention, exact attention to a control input and feeling what it's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very precise and disciplined approach to flying because it's engineering, but at an operational level. So the nice thing about test pilot school is we typically bring in experienced aviators. So when they evaluate the airplane, we're no longer evaluating the pilot, we're evaluating the system under test. And that's typically the airplane. So how does the airplane respond to my inputs? And then what compensations does a pilot have to do to fly the airplane well? So we analyze everything from the open loop response of the aircraft. So I move the stick a certain way, what does the airplane do? To a very tightly controlled task where I'm really trying to aggressively maneuver the airplane. We also evaluate everything from like the human, the pilot vehicle interface, the PVI, or the human system interface. And the idea being that when we send our pilots into a complex environment like combat, we can't have them second-guessing what switches to push or what order the buttons need to be pressed in so that they learn how to really quickly and effectively develop an airplane for the future warfighter.
Right. So you're evaluating that human interface, trying to optimize it.
Exactly.
Okay. How difficult was it for you to up your game, so to speak, to that level?
For me, it was a piece of cake because I'm one of the best aviators ever.
Oh, and modest, too.
No, it's interesting. Everyone learns at their own rate. And it was a lot of fun to watch the way I changed the way I looked at something. Right? When someone says, oh, I don't like the way this airplane flies, that's probably the easiest way to evaluate it. But why didn't you like it?
Right.
And so looking into the maybe how much time it took from a control input to an aircraft response, or maybe the size of an input to the size of the response of the aircraft, and how did that change throughout the flight characteristics. So it's one of those things you don't know that you don't know things, and then as the school progresses, you learn more and more to hone your skills.
I was going to say, being a test pilot, it's not like in the 50s where you were just, you know, rough and ready,
and
kick the tires,
the
light the fires, and try not to get yourself killed. It's a very precise thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, and so Becca talked about Top Gun Maverick a little bit ago, and I think for the most part they do a really good job of showing what flight test is, right? You have people in a control room monitoring what you're doing. You have a plan, hey, we're going to go out and hit these test points. But where that movie breaks down is that lack of discipline at the end where he's like, I'm just going to go a little faster.
Right.
That's absolutely not what we do. It's I've never been told, hey, great job going above and beyond. It's normally like, just do the point. We're going to do it safely and effectively. We can't afford to lose airplanes like they could in the 50s and 60s, and let alone the human toll on that. So everything we do is very precise and very safe, well planned ahead of time.
Now we're getting into more and more automated flight systems where the pilot is less and less in the loop, so to speak. Have you flight tested those, and do you feel like I'm just along for the ride?
So yes and no. Well, one of the really exciting things that we've done at the test pilot school is start to bring in AI onto the airplanes. So my class was actually the first to integrate an artificial intelligence onto a high-performance airplane. We put on the F-16, and when we flew it, the AI told us what to do with the airplane, and then we maneuvered the airplane. We're now at the point where we have AIs actually flying the airplane to evaluate whatever combat tasks we give it. It's important to not shun the technology, but find a way to embrace it appropriately and find the right way to integrate it. Computers are really, really good at a lot of things, like landing an airplane. However, what they're not good at yet is the decision making. So we still need that human there. That role of the combat aviator is just going to change slightly. We shouldn't be talking about landing airplanes. That should be the easy part, right? We should be talking about what's the best way to force package a set of airplanes to get the mission accomplished.
Okay. All I can think of is that line from 2001. I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Well, you know,
I don't want the airplane to tell me that.
But airplanes have been doing that for years, right? Anytime you have a digital flight control,
yeah.
You tell the plane, hey, I want to roll left at this rate. And the airplane's like, nah, I'm only going to give you this. Or, yeah, I can give you that. So you're still just a voting member.
Okay. voting member. I like that.
When you mentioned bringing AI into the cockpit and actually having the AI fly the airplane, I keep thinking the only comparison I can come up with is the Tesla auto drive system. And they've had some spectacular issues
with
those.
I imagine they've had with aircraft as well.
It's interesting. The Tesla autopilot, and I can't speak too much about it, but their accident rate, from what I've seen, is actually much lower than what humans do. But because it's a new technology, it tends to grab headlines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's very important, and what we do as flight testers is make sure that it's, number one, it's safe for the operator. We've got to find all the bugs. We've got to develop that software so that when I give it to a young lieutenant fresh out of pilot training, he doesn't find those bugs. He can't fill into...
So that's her job, devising these test plans and coming up with all these different scenarios to try and find those problems.
Exactly.
Okay.
She's the real hero. I'm just a stick monkey that does whatever they tell us to do. Our flight test engineers are the ones doing the real work.
So is that your call sign now, stick monkey?
It should be.
You know, the thing that I would be careful of is if you have a fight the night before and she goes,
yeah,
and
talk
really
about
messes
bringing
up
work
your
home.
Meshes.
Yeah, nice job on that 6G turn.
Yeah, you did real good there.
I'll say that being a test pilot is incredibly humbling because every time I fly a test mission, there's like 50 or 60 engineers in the control room watching every mistake I make, listening to every buffooner's radio call. So you can't get away with anything in flight test. Not a thing.
Yeah. He had beans all of a sudden. Hey, what was that?
Yeah.
It sounds exciting, and I imagine you strive for it to not be exciting. You want it to be routine, kind of dull and boring, get up there, get the data, and come back in one piece.
Exactly.
Have you ever had those moments, though, where you're wondering, this isn't doing well, and this is not a good situation?
I think it was Chris Hadfield that says, like, NASA astronauts don't launch with their fingers crossed, right? Test pilots don't fly with our fingers crossed.
Okay.
If there's any ever doubt, we slow down, we get back to the heart of that envelope, we consult with our engineers and go, hey, is this really what we're supposed to be doing, and are we getting the results that we want? And if we don't, we're going to back out. You know, talk about it, think about it, and then reattack it another way, maybe.
Okay, good. So hopefully you don't have those moments. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, because they get expensive. Not to mention they can potentially affect your retirement.
But that was they say you only get, what, like two ejections and then the Air Force is officially mad at you?
I hope to never find out.
Yeah, really. I do. I hope you don't have to find out. I can't even imagine the stuff they're testing these days. I mean, they already got AI in the cockpit. That's amazing.
As long as it's not running on Windows.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't get confused.
Well, we've been talking to Jonathan Aronoff and Rebecca Aronoff out of the Edwards Air Force Base, Air Force Flight Test School. Yeah, baby. I'm Fast Eddie.
Yeah, I'm Digital Dave.
Stumbling up.
Yes, you are. And this is EAA Radio.